now in charge after Moses. He's like the general. He's running things. And he sent out two spies to go spy on the Canaanite people. And there, the two spies run into Rahab. Now, there's something we should know about Rahab. In those days, in her job, Rahab is a prostitute. She was known within the community very well. Not only does the community know her, but she knows a lot of the members intimately. So here is Rahab, and she lives at the gate of the city. So in those days, to be protected, you would live normally within a wall. There's one nation that took that to the extreme, and we may know that from history, China, who had a great wall. But civilization back then will build a wall, and they would have a gate so that you could come in, just an added protection. And here, Rahab, we don't know why she chose the job that she did, but based on history, we can assume that she went through some type of hardship. Now, we don't tend, you know, I'm in the classroom, and very rare when we ask the kids what you want to be when you grow up, but they tell us the job that Rahab was doing. So that tells us that something had to happen, some part in her life, that this is the profession that she now has to do to survive. So here she is, she's at the gate, and these two spies comes in. Not only that, she takes the spies in. So if I was to give this a title, for those of you taking notes, I would say, God sees what we can't see. So for those of you note takers, God sees what we can't see. So here she comes in, she takes in these guys, she hides them. There's word that there's spies in our camp. So the guys came looking to see if they could find these spies. They knock on her door. She opens up. She says, no, they are not here. She lied. Unfortunately, she lied. She said, they're not here. But if you go, they probably just left. You could probably catch up with them. So they go looking. She got them off. Then she goes up to the guys on the roof. And she told them, look, I believe that your God, Yahweh, is going to give your people the land. And when he gives this land to your people, please don't forget me and my family and my extended family. Please do not forget, basically, the sacrifice that she did that moment, that day. What she did, she put herself in harm's way. Not only would they have taken those guys, but they would have also taken her captive for protecting these guys at the same time. So what Rahab did was beyond measure, because not only that, she really don't even know God for herself at that point, but she had faith. She had faith. And so the question then, so this is the story there, but where did this faith come from? You see, Rahab was hearing the stories of the wonders that God was doing. She heard about the Red Sea that was parted, that God used to set those people free. She heard about armies being defeated, and it's only by the hand of God. She was hearing these things that now that when she was encountering these two men, she was able to now put what she heard and see the faith that was being lived out right before her. So her faith kicked in, that I believe in what I'm hearing, but not only did she believe, she acted on it. Because when they came knocking, she had the opportunity to say, even if she don't want to say it, she could have just went, you know, like go, you could go look over there, but she didn't. She had some faith, and she put action behind it. So in Hebrews, the thing about Rahab, too, is that we find her in different parts of the Bible. For somebody that's not mentioned a lot, she's mentioned in a few places. And she's referred to as being one of the founding, the pillars of faith. In Hebrews 11:31, for those of you that are following, Hebrews 11:31. And it reads, By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. So what we were found is, it was noted that because of her faith and her acting on her faith, she wasn't put to die with the rest of her village. Not only that, in James 2:25, we also see, 2:25, in the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and she set them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, the faith without deeds is also dead. So what Rahab did was she put her faith in action. She believed that there was a God. She believed in what she was hearing, but now she had an opportunity where she can put that faith into action. Now you gotta remember, she's among people that who do not believe. So this is her first time of actually hearing and interacting with those that believe of the same belief of what she's hearing. And she protected them. After she protected them, she told them, please don't forget me and my family. From that, they went back to the camp. After they went back to the camp, we jump to chapter 6, verses 23 through 25, when Samuel comes back. And when Samuel comes back, he went to her house. He said, everybody in there come out. Everybody came out. They protected them, and they burned down the rest of the city. Everybody else was dead. So that will be, to put it in, you know, perspective for us, it's like they say, we're going to protect those that live next door to the church. Whoever that is, lucky them. They protect them right next door to the church, but everybody else here right now will perish. So it will be only those two people that are living to tell the story, the custom, the people, the history, all that was there before would have been lost if it wasn't for that, for Rahab. But Rahab was spared. She was spared that day. Her faith allowed her and her family to be spared. And this becomes a big deal. Because now I read the story and I'm just like, wow, the Bible is really not that boring. So now let me go a little bit deeper. Well, God, we find his hand all over this situation. Because those two spies went to do what spies do, get information to bring back so that their camp, their party can plan on strategies of what moves to make next. But look how God positioned them that these spies didn't even have to get all the way into the camp. If I wanted to come into sanctuary right now with none of you watching me and I came through the back and I needed to come up here, it would be nearly impossible to get from the back door to up here with none of you being able to see me. Now, if I had to preach from the back, maybe that will be possible. So what God allowed for these spies was they just got to the city and they were able to find refuge in this prostitute's house who lived right by the gate. I like to dive deeper. My brain is even more crazy. Now, I even went to what does that say about Rahab? Because guess what? If she had to choose this livelihood to make it, look at where she lives. If anything, she's probably one of the well-known, more wealthier of her profession because she lives right by the gate. She sees everybody that comes into the city, and she sees everybody that comes into the city. Not only did God position them where they can have quick refuge, but he positioned them with somebody that knows everything that's going on in the city. Just like everybody knows her, I'm sure she knows everybody. So the information that I'm sure those guys were able to gather and question, they were able to get from one source. Not only after that, because she was close to the wall, that after the guards that came looking for them left, it was easier for them to just climb and jump over that wall from her house to continue back to their camp. So the positioning of it all, it reminds me of the book of Esther, where we just see how God just put things right in the right places at the right time. Even Rahab, a sinner, you could a big sinner, if you want to call her that, that God was still able to use her. But God was only able to use her through her act in faith. So in James, it tells us that faith without works is dead. So Rahab could have held on to this faith. I could believe what I hear about the Red Sea. I could believe what I'm hearing about what God bringing down these nations so that you guys can get the victory. But that doesn't mean I have to act on it. But she chose to act on it. I'm hearing it, I believe in it, and I'm going to protect you. In Hebrews, it talks about her again as it marked her as somebody who had that faith. But why are we talking about that today? Why is this such a big deal? Well, for those of you that don't know, Rahab went on to be the great-grandmother of King David. The same King David who was a shepherd boy. The shepherd boy that with his 5 stones and a slingshot was able to kill Goliath through faith. The same David who went on to be the king, to set his people, to fight for his people, protect his people. One of the greatest kings that we read about in history came from Rahab. Now we also know that when he was with his dad Jesse, that David knew the law. He knew the scripture. In fact, that's how he was able to go fight Goliath, because he went not on his own strength, but with the God of hosts. So how does he know the God of hosts? He had to be trained. Well, guess what? This same liar, or this same sinner, because of her one act of faith, was able to set the course for her family in the direction that God will want them to go. Because it can make sense that Rahab most likely connected with somebody of faith, and they reproduced and continued their family and their legacy from there. So what does that mean for us? It's good to look at Rahab, but God sees what we can't see. And now we're now in the bark of a new year. New year where many of us are making our goals. Some of us probably signed up for the gym. Nobody signed up yet? Okay, nobody. Some of us care about how we look. Some of us may want to jog. Some of us may, you know what, this year I'm going to sign up for a devotion track. So let me try to do my devotion every year. We have these check marks. You know, I'm going to get better grades. I'm not going to be single this year. Some of us, I'm going to stay married this year. Wherever we're at, we make these goals and these check marks for the new year. But how many of us are saying, I'm going to serve here this year. I'm going to seek this opportunity to serve the Lord. I'm going to exercise my faith in this way. Remember, the scripture in Hebrews and James, right before it was talking about faith without works is dead. And then they mention Rahab. She's mentioned. This prostitute is mentioned as one of the pillars of faith in the Bible. Now, if that doesn't encourage you, it encourages me. Because what did that mean? If God can use a person like this as a pillar of faith, how can he not use you and me today? Now I get it. I'm not perfect. I try my best to walk upright. You guys expect me to. I expect myself to. But guess what? I'm not perfect. Rahab wasn't perfect. But yet still, God was able to use her. Not only did God use her to produce King David, as we know, but remember, her family was only spared because of her. When they came out, they said everybody that's in the house with her, not whose house she was in, but who was in the house with her. There might be people in our community that God wants to spare, but guess what? What are we doing? We have the faith. I love the fact, and I didn't get to stress this part before, but she was only able to act on her faith because of what she heard. And as I was reminded listening to worship last week, I was just one of the worship leaders. And I remember singing this song. Oh, gosh. Not the story to tell to the nations. That's mission. I love to tell the story of Jesus. I love to tell the story of Jesus. And as Timothy said, look, the Christmas season might be over, but we don't stop telling the story of Jesus. Because then when people start hearing the testimonies, our testimony, what God is doing, how he's doing, when we're being a witness and sharing the gospel, for those of you that don't know, that is our Great Commission, sharing the gospel, they will start to hear these things that when they do encounter two spies, they have no choice but to act on the faith. But how many of us are sharing the gospel? How many of us do speak about the gospel? It's not only just speaking, but how many of us are showing the gospel? In Sunday school, we talked about the fruit of the Spirit. Look, it's supposed to be part of our DNA. From kindness, they should see Jesus. From the way we show love, they should see Jesus. From the way that we show long-suffering, patience, they should see Jesus. We are the ones now that have the position to now equip others to act on their faith. The faith that they may not even know they have until they're given the opportunity to act upon it. Now, for us, it may look a little different. For us, it's simple. We can say, choose ye this day who you will serve. Because we have a Messiah that came. His name is Jesus. We just took communion. As often as you do it in remembrance of me. But we're doing it for ourselves, but what are we doing for others? So this new year, I'm challenging you, I'm challenging myself. Are we going to be like Rahab? Where we're just going to act on our faith in spite of where we're at. Remember, we can see, clearly we can see that Rahab was a babe in her faith. She was a babe that God turned around and used in a major, major way. So that means if you're older, your time isn't done. There's wisdom that's in engulfed in you. As I like to say, those of you with gray hair, that's not gray hair, that's platinum hair. That's wisdom. What that allows us to do as younger generation is that you should help us avoid certain hurdles. I shouldn't have to jump a fence when I have somebody older that knew the fence would be there. If anything, you prepared me to go around that fence before getting there. So those of you, I did that, my time is done. Well, are you equipped in us that are younger? Those of us that are younger, scripture tells us, don't let anybody despise you because you're you. And then look at some of us, well, I'm new to this faith. I don't know. I'm still covered in sin. We could just look at Rahab. And if she can still be marked as a pillar of faith in spite of what she's done, whether we don't know the reason she's done it, but God still allowed her to have such esteem, then why do we think that God cannot use us? Why are we not allowing ourselves to be used? So that's my challenge for us for this year. It's nice, it's simple, it's very simple, but it's gonna show in a major way. Why? Because the church will smell different. If one person cleans, you know this. Let me use this. Okay, I'll use us as an example. When Ruth's clean, the house is nice. But when I make the time to help her, every spot kind of gets covered. It don't always happen. But when it does happen, what a beautiful home. And this is the house of God. Well, I don't have much to do. I could just clean. Well, clean. There's spots right now I'm seeing. I don't want to say it. This is my house. But there's spots right now that can dust. You know, I don't have much to give, but what you can will add to the body. What you can will add for the community. Remember, we're called to be the salt and the light of this world. But if we're not even in the pot won't have flavor. We're not using it to add the flavor. Well, you know what? I may not have that much flavor, but my little bit of saltiness, but your little ounce of saltiness just made the pot perfect. Remember, God adds and take away. And if he chose to added you to this congregation, to this assembly for such a time as this, it's because you're part of the flavor. But why are we holding back our flavors? When God needs it, he wants it to make a beautiful pot. So this year, be part of the pot. I will love to encourage and say, hey, we need volunteers. But let me tell you, it's tiring. It's tiring. I know some of you, yeah, we love your energy. Got recognized last week. We love your enthusiasm. But guess what? It's one thing to be an encourager with somebody running, and it's another thing to encourage somebody that's not even moving. Now you stop me from running because now I have to pull. When we were running together, we got this. It's time for us to start running. I was correcting myself when I hear stories of all the stuff this church used to do and the ministries and the people and the connection. And I wanted to say, let's get back to the good days. And I had to correct myself. I would call it the golden days. But I believe that we still have better days yet to come. If Christ still gives us life, if we're still here on this side of eternity, we have the opportunity to still do what God has placed us here to do, friends. The question is, are we going to do it? Are we going to do it? Now, God's will is going to be done with or without you and me. But let's be part of it. Amen? Lord, I thank you for this time, Father, Lord. I just thank you for just your word, Father God, Lord. I just thank you for this season, another year, another opportunity where we can find room to serve you, Father God, where we can find room to not only have faith in you, not only to believe in you, but put action behind it, Father God, Lord. Father God, I pray that you reveal to us areas where we can serve, areas where we can labor one for another, Father God, areas where we can let our gifts and talent shine for you, Father God, not for self-praise, but for the betterment of your people, of your community, Father God, Lord. So we thank you, Father God, for what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. Pray that you help us to apply this in our lives, in our areas, Father God, and not be hearers of the word, but doers, Father God, for this season, for such a time as this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.